Amen. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone else. It's so good to be in God's house tonight. Amen. We are the Coffee family. You're missionaries to the country of South Africa. Thank you so much, Crossroads Baptist Church, for your involvement in our ministry. Last night was a little overwhelming. Justice giving us the check and handing that to our family. It's Braden and Justin, right? Did I get those right? You guys handed our checks, and man, we appreciate your involvement and help with Camp Rhino. And we do pray that God will bless that ministry, and there will be much fruit to your account. And it's such a blessing. It's such a great time to be here. Man, we've really enjoyed the music. Thank you, choir, so much. The last night special and tonight's special, man, you guys are knocking it out of the park. And I just appreciate your sacrifice and your service and your labor. Make services a lot better when we don't just have to hear ourselves sing. Amen. But man, it's such a joy to be here. Thank y'all for having us. Thank y'all for as far as giving. Just make a mention of the t-shirt. Brother Loveday said he was going to pay for all the t-shirts. So he said that anybody could come over and get a free t-shirt, and he's going to pay for you. No, I'm just kidding, Brother Loveday. He kind of threw me on the bus yesterday, so I had to get him back. No, I'm just kidding. No, it is a joy. Yeah, please come by, fill out an email sheet, put your email down there. I hate that we have to leave tonight. This can be our last service here, but man, it's such a joy to see all of y'all, and thank y'all so much for your involvement. We do have posters for Camp Rhino. I would like everybody, if you wouldn't mind, just to take one of those posters with you. Those are free. You can just take those and take that and hang it on your wall or put it wherever you want, and just to help you remember to pray for Camp Rhino. That is your ministry. That's part of what you've sacrificed for. You guys have given over the year, and we appreciate that. And that really, you know, that's, you know, Brother Aaron contacted me in January. He's one of the first people that made a commitment to help us with Camp Rhino. And at that time, we had a goal of raising over $100,000. And we still have that goal. But at that time, we had $0 in the bank as far as toward that goal. And Brother Aaron said, hey, our church, by faith, we're going to, you know, I'm going to present it, but I think they're going to get behind. We're going to hopefully take up $2,500 this year by the time you get to missions conference to give to Camp Rhino. And here, you guys did not reach, or you did not raise $2,500. You raised $2,600. And we appreciate that. Man, what a blessing. And, you know, that was at zero when we were trying to raise $100,000. And now with your gift, we've got over $87,000 toward that ministry. So that's because of you and because of your praying and because of your sacrifice. Tonight, you know, I just want to talk to you about a few things, kind of mixed up in the direction I want to go. But man, I'm excited about Missions Conference. You know, Missions Conference has changed my life. You know, I had an opportunity to go on a mission trip to the country of Peru. Brother Rob was talking about it. I love Peru. It's a nation of over 31 million people. Man, the gospel, there is a great need of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the country of Peru. God taught me a lot of things. I landed in Peru in 1995. I was 18 years old. I had just graduated from high school, and I had a missionary come to our church, and he preached a message. I got my life right with the Lord during that message, and I went to the altar to surrender my life to the Lord. At the time, I thought surrendering to the Lord, I thought, hey, I'll give up their own kind of friends, I'll give up their own kind of music, and hey, I may even start going on visitation and soul winning once in a while. I thought getting right with the Lord, I thought that's all I really had to worry about. But a missionary came to me the next week, and he said, Mark, how would you like to go on a mission trip with me to the country of Peru just to see what the mission field is like? Well, I was actually supposed to register for community college that next day. And I got to thinking, hey, what better way to put off college one more semester? Go to the mission field. But what I thought was going to be a foreign vacation, what I thought was just going to be an opportunity to get on an airplane for the first time was something, folks, that changed my life forever. I did step into a country that was founded on something that wasn't God's word. It was founded on, you know, they had religious sacraments. They had the good things they thought they could do to work their way to heaven. It's like they were so close to the gospel, but they were just missing the point of the gospel. And man, it was good people, and man, people who were sincere people, who, it seemed like they had a heart for God and even loved His word, but they were just didn't understand the gospel. And God used that trip to say, Mark, what are you going to live for? Are you going to keep going toward the materialistic gain of this world, or are you going to start obeying the commandments of my word? And guys, I really struggled. Man, I was wanting to go in this direction. I felt like God wanted me to go in this direction. And I fought with God for about 3 months. I said, God, you know, I have two ambitious goals in my life, and I go in this direction, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joyful. You know, I had the ambitious goals. My first number one priority, I wanted to find a really pretty girlfriend. And my second priority is I wanted to make a lot of money. And I said, God, this is what's going to take me down that road. And He says, Mark, I want you to go down this road. And thankfully, there was a pretty girlfriend at the end of this road as well. But it was about 3 months, and I finally got tired of fighting with God and threw in the towel and said, okay, God, here's my life. Do with me whatever you'd want me to do. And it was about 3 days after that day that He called me to preach, coming into the ministry. And I was there in Peru, and man, I was excited about missions. I was there with a missionary, and he was building a team of other guys coming in, and he was training Peruvian young guys, and they were going out to start churches. Man, we were there, and Brother Gardner, the missionary I was working under, he had started 5 churches, and while I was there, he started his 6th church. But man, he had several guys in his Bible college, and it was growing, and you just knew, man, this is an exciting place to be, because they were going to start churches where there were no churches. They were going into cities where they had nothing. They had no clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And man, just exciting things were going on, and I had an opportunity to be involved in that. And I can remember God changing my heart and changing my purpose and my direction. And He's saying, Mark, I want you to be involved in getting the gospel message to the world. And I was there on that 5-month mission trip. And after that 5-month trip, I went back to my home church. And I got to my home church, and man, I wanted to be involved in missions. I wanted to be involved in getting the gospel message to the world. But my pastor didn't like the idea of me being a missionary, mainly because I'd only got right with God for like 2 months. He's like, you don't have any experience. You can't be a missionary. You got to prove yourself here in our home church. And I started working in the children's and teens ministries. But man, I knew I wanted to be involved in getting the gospel message to the world. I wanted my life. I didn't want the missionaries to be there and me not be involved in what was going on. Because I knew, hey, the need is great. People are dying and going to hell. And we have to do all we can do to get the gospel message to the world. And we had our Faith Promise Missions Conference. I got home and back to the States in at the end of July, 1st of August, I believe. We had our Faith Promise Conference in September. And that missions director came in there and started preaching, started teaching about faith promise. And he would go to verses like Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that it was already mentioned this evening. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both. Listen to that word, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that missionary started saying, hey guys, it is our responsibility as believers. God has saved us to where we can take the gospel message to where we are, but also take the gospel message to where we aren't. Both at the same time, here and there. And you hear that at first, you're like, what in the world is he talking about? How can we go there and be here? That doesn't make sense. And then he started explaining what Faith Promise Missions was all about. And he jumped over and he started talking about in 2 Corinthians. You can kind of turn your Bible over there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And he started explaining about the idea of the privilege we have as the body of Christ, that we get to fellowship in the ministry with people who are not where we are, but are taking the gospel message to places that we can't go. Now, let me ask you, how many here tonight can go to China tomorrow? Now, China is a country of 1.3 billion people. And the majority of people living in China don't have the gospel. But Christ has told us, hey, we need to reach Mobile with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we also need to reach China. How are we going to do that? How are we going to get to those places? Well, the awesome thing, you guys support a missionary that I heard last night, Brother Ben Johnson, who's taking the gospel message to China. And I found out, man, here in the Word of God that we can fellowship with people. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, in verse number 4, the Bible says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So the people in the churches of Macedonia called on to something. They called on to what fellowship was all about. What biblical fellowship. Now we, as Baptists, when we mention the word fellowship, what are we usually talking about? Food, amen? We're talking about fried chicken and banana pudding and everything that goes with that. And we're talking about some delicious, devilish carrot cake that I ate last night. I don't know who made that, but that is not healthy. But when we mention the word fellowship, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about food, amen? But when they mention the word fellowship here in verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, they weren't talking about food, they were talking about ministry. See, Paul went into these churches, and they were super poor churches in the churches of Macedonia. And he said, guys, we have needs in the ministry, but man, I think you guys are so poor that you guys can't give. So man, I'm going to go to the next churches and maybe they can make up for what you guys can't give because I know that you're going through persecution. I know you're poor. I know you guys can't really be involved in what's going on right now because of your situation. And that church kind of went into protest mode, the right kind of protest mode. And it says here in verse 4, it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. See, these people, man, they started begging Paul, saying, no, Paul, you have to take our offering because when you go start a church in a place that's never had a church, man, we want to be part of that. We want to be connected to that. And, man, they said, well, you can't rob us from that opportunity. In verse 5, it says, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. These people not only gave their finances, folks, but they gave their whole selves, saying, God, take all of me and use me in whatever way is most pleasing to you. Whether it's my finances, whether it's my family, whether it's my wife, my children, my desires, my goals, my plans. God, I'm going to chunk all of that. All of the plans that I had, and God, I'm going to give all those to you and say, God, whatever your plans, that's what I want my life to be. So these people in Macedonia, man, they were in a good place. They understood that Paul, hey, if they helped Paul finance Paul and Paul went out and started a church, it was like them starting a church. Philippians chapter number 4 even mentioned how Paul mentioned how his fruit also abounded unto their account. And some just amazing things that were going on. And they understood, hey, when we give money to Paul and Paul goes to start a church, guess what? We're starting a church too. And we give money to Paul and Paul goes see someone saved, guess what? We're seeing someone saved as well. That's like when you guys invested in Camp Rhino. You know, every person that is saved through that ministry is fruit onto your account. You know, we talk about fellowshipping. It's kind of like investing. Now, right now you have, out of the $100,000, you have 2.6% investment made into $100,000. So you understand, it's like a 2.6 return. I mean, just kind of using secular terms here. But you understand what I'm talking about as far as an investment you made. But you know, we as human beings, we love to fellowship, don't we? You know, we fellowship with our sports and our hobbies. We fellowship with the cable company every month. We fellowship, you know what I'm talking about. We give and get a return. But man, how many of us are fellowshipping in something that's going to make a difference for eternity? Yes, see, the churches of Macedonia, they caught on to something saying, hey, we want that fruit. And church, when you get involved in Faith Promise Missions, what you're saying is, hey, I don't want to just make an impact where I am. I want to get the gospel message to the world. I know someone brought me the gospel, so I want to make sure people are taking the gospel to other people around the world that hasn't had that opportunity. And the Bible, through chapter 8, the Bible continues to explain in verse 9, it says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And that idea of, you know, because we talk about money and faith promise missions as far as having faith to give, but the idea is when we give money, it's like we're making ourselves poor. It's like we're taking what we have, giving it to a missionary, and we're becoming poor so someone else can become rich. And it's not talking about money, but it's talking about the gospel. Amen. Because once they get the gospel, it changes their life. And we have the opportunity to become poor so they can become rich in somewhere else. So it's just kind of an idea of, man, and he mentions in verse 13, he says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened, but by equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want." We're able to receive our abundance. And we know as far as the missionaries have a need, they have a want to get the gospel message to the world. And our supply can be an answer to their want. So that's what we get to do when we involved in Faith Promise Missions. And just kind of a quick explanation is the 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Just kind of bearing down and giving the nuts and bolts of what Faith Promise Missions is about. Because guys, when I was... I was 18 when I went to Peru. I was 19 by the time I got back. I found out that I could make an impact in Peru from Dalton, Georgia. And I want you to understand, folks, you from here in Mobile, Alabama, can make an impact around the world from where you are. Man, I'm hoping people will give their lives to come help us work in South Africa. Man, I'm hoping we can get missionaries from this church in Zimbabwe. I'm hoping we can get them in... Man, working in China and India, just around the world. But man, do you understand you don't have to physically be a missionary to also help reach the world? Amen. You can do it through Faith Promise Missions. You can have a part. You can be involved. It says in verse 7, "Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver." So the idea is that God wants us to understand here when we're talking about Faith Promise Missions is, man, that we pray to Him and we purpose in our heart, we make a decision saying, "God, this is the amount that I can give. Or this is the amount that I feel that You want me to give. Not necessarily that I can give, but that You want to give through me." And it kind of explains in verse 8, and it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you." Now, I don't want you to understand something. With Faith Promise Missions, it's not about what I'm able to do, but it's about God being able to do it. It's not about me being able, but it's about God being able. So it's kind of like we get the opportunity to say, "Okay, God, we understand You want to get the gospel message to the world. And we want to be involved in giving to missions. And to tell you the truth, Lord, I'm not able to give. I don't have it to give." But what does this verse say? Is this verse say that what Mark is able to give? No, it says who's able. God is able. So what we're saying is, God, we know that You're able, and I'm going to have faith that You're able to give through me so we can get the gospel message around the world. Now, you guys have had a Faith Promise illustration going on in your service every single week here at Crossroads Baptist Church. And just to kind of give an illustration of what Faith Promise Missions is, it's kind of like a change offering. Now, we've had kids run through this church doing what? Picking up money. They come through this church and Pastor Aaron say, "Okay, guys, it's the change offering time. We want our kids to go out." And what do the kids do? They go out in the pews, and what do they? They just walk around saying, "Hey, who's got some change for me? Anybody got any money? Hey, when they walk out here looking for money, are they sad? Are they disappointed? Are they worried? No, all they're saying is, "Hey, I know there's money out here and I know you want to give it and I just want to collect it, because when you put it in my hands, guess what I get to do? I get to go up here and put it in an offering plate." You know what Faith Promise Missions is? It's saying, "God, I know You want to give a certain amount and I just want to be like a kid and I just want to put my hands out. God, give through me this money so I can take and get the gospel message to the world." That's a great example of what Faith Promise Missions is about. It's not about me. It's amazing what the verse says. What does this verse say after this? It says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." Look at this. "Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now, the awesome idea is when we know that, hey, this money isn't for us and the money's not coming for us to give, but man, the money's coming through us so we can get to the world missions. When these kids go out and they grab this money, they're not sad, they're not disappointed. No, they're cheerful because they understand God is wanting to give through me to get the gospel message to the world. And that's what we get to do with Faith Promise Missions. This is in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And Paul kind of sums it up in chapter 10 and verse 15. He says, not boasting of the things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that you shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Listen to that second part in verse 15. It says that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in regions beyond you. So when your faith is increased, the middle of verse 15, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged. That means as your faith grows, our ministry gets bigger. And it says the way our ministry gets bigger is we're able to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. We're able to go into other places. So guys, you understand what this Faith Promise Missions is about. It's understanding that, God, I want to be involved. And I'm going to make a commitment. And I'm going to say, God, I pray, God, put an amount on my heart that you want to give through me to get the gospel message to the world. You know, many times, folks, God will give through us what He will not give to us. He will give through us what He will not give to us. You know, we need to think of our lives as like a water spout. Not that we produce the water, but the water's going to run through us to get to the world. And that's what Faith Promises and Missions is about. And as our faith grows, missionaries can grow around the world. As our faith grows, man, we can not only support missionaries in Peru and Honduras and South Africa. We not only can support missionaries in Spain, but man, we can start going to other places where we don't have missionaries because our faith is growing and our ability to give grows. And God gives through us to get the gospel message to the world. Does that make sense? You understand as far as, man, I want you to understand as these kids, all year long, man, they joyfully just going out. They weren't worried about it. They were going out and saying, okay, give to me so I can go. That money was going through. That money wasn't going to them. It was going through them to get to Camp Rhino. That's a perfect example of what Faith Promise Missions is about. You know, when I was 19 years old, I said, God, I want to play a big part. I want you to help me. And God put a mountain on my heart that was kind of, at that time, was taking me out of my comfort zone. I was making $6.50 an hour when I was 19 years old. And I felt like God said, Mark, I want you to prove me that I could do through you. And I want you to give $60 a week to Faith Promise Missions. I was 19 years old. I was making $6.50 an hour. But I can tell you it was amazing how God wouldn't give to me what He would give through me. I don't say anything that but to brag about Mark Caulfield, but I'm just saying, man, it was amazing. I can tell you, it was just, I like to share those things because it was so fun. I cannot tell you the amount of free meals that I got that year. I can't tell you the amount of things that were given to me. I can't tell you the way that God opened up doors. See, folks, I understood that some of my best friends were giving their lives to take the mission, take the gospel to Peru, and I couldn't be there. But I wanted to play just as big a part. And that's what Faith Promise Missions enabled me to do. Folks, what are we going to do? They say that today there's over 7.5 billion people around this world. 7.5 billion people. We can't even understand what that 7.5 billion even means. But they say that over 7.5 billion people, that over half the world's population is yet to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Over 3.75 billion people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our King, our commander, says, take the gospel message to the world. Folks, we've got to be involved. We don't have much time left. I believe Christ could come back at any moment and rapture His church. And folks, we need to be busy about doing the thing that He has commanded us to do. How many tonight could say, hey, I want my faith to grow because I want the regions that we reach out of Crossroads Baptist Church to grow. And I understand, God, it's not what I'm able to do, but it's what You're able to do through me. And God, I'm going to work with You, and I'm going to purpose in my heart to put down this amount and saying, God, I know I can't do it, but man, God, I am trusting in You to do something miraculous because I understand the seriousness that there's not a missionary that should stand behind the pulpit of my church that should care more about world evangelism than I do sitting in the pew. That we understand we both have a responsibility. And man, because I give and because He goes, we're able to be equal partners in this fellowship, in this partnership to get the gospel message around the world. So, Crossroads Baptist Church, I'm glad to know that we don't have to go to South Africa by ourselves. We can take our God, but we know that You're going with us because we're partnering in the ministry. We just have to decide how many more partnerships do we want to have? How much more fellowship do we want to have? Yes, we love fellowshipping around carrot cake. Amen? But man, I really want to fellowship around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you so much for your prayers. How many coffee drinkers do we have in the house? Please, when you drink your coffee, remember to pray for the coffee family. Pray for South Africa. As we pray for you. Guys, we got to work together to make an impact in this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight by some way and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray that tonight will be the night that you realize you've sinned against a holy God. But that holy God loved you enough to come and come to this world, live a sinless, perfect life, die on the cross, taking the penalty that you deserve for your sin, taking your sin debt upon Himself, and dying and being buried and raising again 3 days later to prove that He had victory over sin and death. I want you to understand that, man, we have a Savior that took your sin on Him so He could give you His goodness and His righteousness and put that in your account so you could go be with the Father. If you've never accepted Christ, I pray tonight will be the night that you trust Him as your personal Savior, that you repent and believe Christ. But those that are saved, folks, we have a responsibility. We have to get the gospel message to the world, because that's what our Commander-in-Chief has commanded us to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. God, I pray that You just help us, Lord, to be obedient to Your Word. Help us, Lord, not to be sidetracked. Help us not, Lord, to have our priorities in other places. But God, help our lifestyle be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, You've done so much for us. Help us not to take Your grace in vain. Help us not to take Your gospel in vain. Help us not to be selfish with it, but take it to the world. In Jesus' name I pray.